Blog Talk Radio.
I pledge you that we shall neither commit nor provoke aggression, that we shall neither flee nor invoke the threat of force, that we shall never negotiate out of fear, and we shall never fear to negotiate.
Scott Enstra Network.
Thanks for joining on a Thursday night. It's just going to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I opened up the chat room. If anyone's got any questions, Julie possibly is going to join us here in a little bit. We'll see. A lot of the things that I see, and I'm sure that everyone is pretty much in the same agreement that, you know, anything to disrupt who we are, anything to take away who we are, anything to keep us from being the men and women of God is exactly the New World Order's attempt to do what it can to, you know, disrupt our lives. And what is in it for them? Well, we need to remember they're insane, they're crazy, they're demon possessed. They have, you know, their souls are sold. Many of them, their souls are gone already. Many of the people you're seeing are another generation, whether it's a clone or whatever the situation is. And, you know, bringing in the subject about Prince, you know, the entertainer, dead at 57, Julie and I were talking, and we don't believe that he actually did die, that probably what they did is allowed his clone to be found. And whatever they're going to do with the core person, maybe that person's already dead, whatever the situation is, a lot of entertainers seem to be passing away. You know, we had Patty Duke here a month ago. We had Merle Haggard. And then I see that China, the pro wrestler woman at 46, just posted that she's passed away. And whatever that situation is, it could always be because of the things that she was into. But, you know, what a sad state of affairs. And I just hope that these people have turned their lives over to Christ before they died. You know, we're reminded about the workers in the field that some came in the morning and some were in the afternoon, but all were paid the same wage. And so I still stand that as long as you draw breath, you can repent and still be saved. And Julie and I were talking about some things before we came on. There's the Arminianism, meaning that anything that you do and you don't repent of it, means you're going to hell. So if you swear, if you do this or do you do that, then you, if you do not get on your face and automatically repent, you're going to hell. Now, Deuteronomy or those things in Galatians are very specific about those who practice such things, and I've talked about that and various other things where you can have your name removed from the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's a point that it goes so far that in itself causes disruption within people's lives. Now, what I'd rather, you know, watch my, you know, P's and Q's and dot my I's and cross my T's, absolutely. But see, that's one of the things about deliverance. When you get the demons out of you that are of a particular nature that brings you into a particular behavior and you get rid of them, then you whittle that issue of losing anything down to nothing. Now, notice the mass contradiction to, you know, saying that you cannot lose your salvation. Now, I don't use that term. I believe that you can walk away and forfeit. I believe you can sell your birthright. I believe that you can have your name, you know, removed from the Lamb's Book of Life, but it's a choice. And we see in the book of Revelation that many who are going to take the mark, you know, there's a great falling away, there's a great deception. And many will argue, well, they never were Christians. Well, maybe. We're not called to judge their hearts, but certainly their fruits of their actions or their sins, we do. We call them out. We have to. If we're to be the light and the salt in this world, then those things that are out of order, those things that are wrong, we need to address them. Because if we don't, then we're actually allowing evil to continue its behavior. It's that simple. But, you know, again, the mainstream church, you know, the greasy grace issue, you know, that's a whole nother thing. And I believe that these grace churches, whenever you have someone who's come to Christ, they need to be led. They need to be directed. You need to take them under your wing and show them, because they can get the wrong idea. They can get the wrong doctrine. Their heart may be in the right place, and they want to do what they, you know, feel that they're called to do. But because they're being allowed to behave in the old nature, they're not crucifying the flesh. They're not getting rid of the old man. There's, you know, they're not new wine and new wineskins. And so this greasy grace is taking millions of new Christians and leading them straight to hell. The blind leading the blind. Because there is an accountability for everything that you do. No question. Okay? But to think that you have fire insurance and you can continue your life as it was prior, you're wrong. But at any moment, can you do something that causes you to lose it? No, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I mean, look at the apostles, for goodness sakes. You know, Peter was my boy. You know, every time we turned around, he was doing something. And but yet, look at how strong he came, and you know, when he finally realized that it was Jesus plus nothing. And they were all that way. I mean, think about spending your time with Jesus. You know, I'm sitting here at a table with monitors in front of me and a microphone, and to think that Jesus would be sitting in the chair next to me, ready to speak into the other microphone. And the comprehension that it's God in the flesh, that it's God's Son, that it is, you know, the Spirit of God, it's one who paid the price, sitting right here in the flesh. Well, when Jesus walked the earth, how incredible. I mean, the apostles, it took them a while for that to sink into their heads, right? And you know, there was a massive disruption when he was crucified. You know, there was the denying. You notice that John, the revelator, was the only male of the group that stuck around to be at the foot of the cross. And Jesus, by the way, turned his mother over to John by the history that we're reading. Please take care of my mother. And then, of course, Mary, the ex-prostitute, was there. But where were the other apostles? Well, their minds were blown. There had to be, you know, they had to get their wits about them. And just think how bizarre and crazy and terrifying that would all be. Especially the type of the way that Jesus was executed. You know, he was murdered because he was innocent of his crimes. And by the way, you know, we're told how we as Christians that we're going to be following that. But yet the doctrines that are trying to, you know, shove down our throats say that we're not going to be experiencing that. It's a contradiction. When all the apostles except John, the revelator, and I believe that he was chosen to write the book of Revelation to be the scribe for Jesus because of his obedience, because he was at the cross. I really do. And you do know that they tried to boil him in oil. Okay? And then went on, he survived it. You know, he crawled out of that pot. And because of that, everybody who witnessed it, including the Roman soldiers, understood the power of God's salt for themselves and came to Christ. I mean, what an incredible testimony. What an incredible individual. And he lived to be a ripe old age. He was surrounded by his family. I don't know whether you know that or not. He was the only one. Now, they tried to kill him, but God had a different plan. And that was to get that book written. And he did. Now, I want to remind everyone that I have opened up the chat room. And if there's any questions, I'm going to move back and forth here. I'm only going to be on an hour tonight. I've got some business that I need to take care of a little later, but I wanted to fulfill that. Getting back to the stuff going on out there, you know, this ISIS thing, this whole Islam, you know, that's going on, we've talked about that. Everything goes back pointing to Albert Pike and using them to disrupt and take down nations. Today I did the show that airs on Saturday night for KFNX, and I went into great detail about hybrids, about clones, about reptilians. And one of the things that Julie and I are concerned about is that those that are thinking that all of our DNA is corrupted and therefore none of us are pure, and so therefore we should extend grace to even the hybrids. Okay? Now, we have to just take a step back. Let me address this. Okay? You make up your own mind here. I've made my mind up, but you can, you know, I just want to give you my logic in this. Okay, so when the fallen angels, the sons of God, came into the daughters of men, which we saw was before and after the flood, there was a corruption of DNA. Okay? Now, prior to the flood, obviously things were such a mess that God chose to destroy every living thing. Now, there's one factor here that not too many people address. If there were things like Leviathan and other beasts within the waters, then basically there's nothing that killed them. I mean, they were already water bound, right? So those things would have continued, and water spirits and siren spirits and all the things that were damned because of what they did before the flood. It would have been those things on two and four legs that would have perished. So what do we have now? We have the understanding that after the flood there was another corruption, okay? Because we're told that, and there were Raphaim, there were Nephilim, there were those things that made us look like we were grasshoppers, okay? So when we go back before the flood, and I'm trying to bring this out to you, that when we read the book of Enoch, that those 200 fallen angels made a pact. They talked amongst themselves and said, let's do this. Okay, so they made a conscious choice to go against God and have earthly women. Okay, and I mentioned about sirens, which were women who gave themselves to fallen angels, not that they were taken. And so they were damned as a human spirit. And when they realized their mistake, they asked Enoch to petition God and forgiveness. Okay? And Enoch did it. He went to God. Because remember, Enoch walked with God. He had a relationship with him. Remember, Enoch didn't experience death too, by the way. And God said no. It's not happening. They were angelic, they were with God, they saw the supernatural, they saw the wonderful things, and they still made a choice. Okay? So in that, when things were to a point that the Nephilim, the disruption of living things being what I would call dinosaurs, which they called dragons, those beasts, those giants, they were eating everything that was in front of them. You can imagine their calorie intake for such a large creature. Okay? You know, it's like a chimpanzee, you know, their muscle density is incredible. That's why they're so much stronger than humans. And so whenever you have that, you've got to feed it. Okay? So they were eating people, they were eating vegetation, they were eating everything. And finally, there was a point in time that when the people cried out, that God heard them, and he cursed them to turn on each other. And they destroyed each other. Okay? And in that, the angels grieved, because the fallen angels, because they saw that their creation, their sons and daughters, were perishing. Okay? Now, people, unfortunately, their DNA had been corrupted. Okay? So the people on the earth, just as it was in the days of Noah, were drinking and marrying and eating and giving in marriage, even up until the doors of the ark closed. And those who entered the ark, their DNA, in my opinion, was pure. There's some speculation and some, you know, different opinions about that. But I believe that it was. And so the flood began. And those who were alive, those who were on the earth that were not in the ark, their DNA was corrupted. So they perished. Okay? So now you have an understanding that God does not want humans with any of the DNA, any of, you know, those things that come from fallen angels, that come from whatever, because that is not the will of God. That was not his intent. That was not his creation. Now, did he know all things? Yes. Did he know this was going to happen? I'm sure he did, right? Because he wrote the book, the book of Revelation was prophesied, and Ezekiel and Daniel and all these things. So, of course, you know, the time-space continuum thing, you know, able to move forward and back. But with his laws written, that the baseline of truth that was established by him, that his intervention would only be when those were one, when people were willing to repent. Okay? Now, there is divine intervention. How that works, you'll have to ask God when you get there. And so what I'm saying is, after the flood now, we have the same situations where the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and again we had the giants. And I believe, and I stated that today, that those who did that, I think, are the ones under the Euphrates rivers in chains. That's just my opinion. And I think Jude points to that. Okay? Now, with this corruption that they've done, then obviously we have the seed of Satan today. And so something's got to be done about it. There has to be a cleansing. There has to be an alteration. So if we, in our DNA, have the seed of Satan in it, let's say me, for instance, then I'm not the will of God. And so then I'm disqualified. Say, well, that's some pretty strong stuff. What about all those who are innocent? Let me lay something out for you. Okay, and I've had to think about this, and if there's something else that comes along that makes more sense, I'm willing to look at it. But you need to understand this. Okay? The reason that demons are out there, one, they're the disembodied spirits of those things that fell before the flood, and I believe they're still being generated today by those creations that are an abomination. When they die, they become a demon, an unclean spirit. That there is a punishment for the sinner. Okay, like in Corinthians, a man has his father's wife. Turn him over to Satan for a time in hopes that his soul will be saved. Okay? So by our sins, then we're punished by the demons. By our actions of lawlessness in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, we get curses. You'll see in there blessings and curses. So whenever we operate outside the law of God, whenever we operate outside the Ten Commandments, the commandments of the prophets, the laws of the prophets, then we are of the will of God. And while that takes place, then we are then susceptible to demonization. And depending how far you go, draws the line whether you're demon-possessed. I say those in the world are demon-possessed, and those Christians can be demonized. Why? How do I know that? Well, this is what I do. Cast out demons all day long. I've been doing it for a long time. There is no question about it. Anybody who doesn't understand that then just hasn't really looked into it and or has been churched, which is, by the way, being bewitched. Now, when you receive a curse, you can get a curse of premature death, early death, suicide, destruction, cancers, mental illness, poverty. Is that what God had for us? No. Is that what happens to us when we sin? Yes. With the blood of Jesus, we're able to come out of it. But see, what's happened is that there has been indoctrinations and doctrines and those things that have been brought in that have kept us from spreading the word, Matthew 28, casting out demons. And so now we have massive populations and generations that have been in bondage. And many of them are going to perish. Many of them are going to experience the second death, the lake of fire. Why? Because they have not had their demons cast out. They have not had the curses broke off. So they're in an iniquitous pull, and they continue in their behavior, and it drives them to the pit. Is that what God had for them? No. He wishes none should perish. Now, I'm making a case here. So if I... let's say if it was possible for, because the DNA of humans and the DNA of animals, though I believe that there has been some that have taken, but there's always been, the birth has always been a stillborn. Okay, and so obviously that was by design, so there could be no cross species in that manner for humans to animals and vice versa. Though I believe that some have taken, again, haven't come to full term, but those things in the lab, that's a different subject. Let's put that aside. But what I'm saying, that if you have a human who mates with, let's say, you know, an animal, and it gives birth, is that child or that thing that was born, was that the will of God? No. Is it an abomination? Yes. Does it have the soul or spirit of God, since God is a God of spirits? No. What does it have? Good question. I mean, the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, of the giants, are the demons. So whatever that really is, that's what we're dealing with. So, okay, so let me now get to hybrids. Let me get to the reptilian. Let me get to the Dracos. Let me get to those insectoids, those things. Okay? Did God put a spirit in them? No. Do they have a human soul? No. Then are they qualified for heaven? No. Was it harsh? Yes. Is it terrible? Yes. But we need to understand that there is no gray area. That God is God, truth is truth, in can take the very life out of an individual and kill them. Not all sins lead to death. But the sins against the body, those things of fornication, those things of strange flesh, those things seen as an abomination, cannot be tolerated by a God who is truthful, a God who has the center point of a cornerstone or a tethering of a point of truth. Because if he doesn't put his foot down, then everything else is a lie. So I don't like the idea that somebody that may have a certain amount, and where's that line drawn? I don't know. On percentages of DNA and are you quarter this and half? I don't know. But we know it's a small remnant that makes it to heaven. That there's a mass casualty that's thrown into the lake of fire. And my point in this is, do not make the mistake that something that is a full reptilian or something that is, you know, half or whatever, but yet it's portraying itself as loving Jesus, it's portraying itself as being a Christian when it's not. There were many that are marked out long ago that crept in amongst you. When we look at when we have all power and all authority, Luke 18, over serpents, reptilians, scorpions, insectoids, then what's up with that? And the air, right? Principalities, rulers of the air and those things, the air being the spirit realm, the second heaven, third and fourth dimension, or fourth and fifth dimension. These things that do not have a human spirit do not have a human soul. And what is a soul? It's the will, the mind, the emotions of the individual. If they do not have the Spirit of God, then their very nature of what they are is not human. Would I want to be the one to judge and stand there while you know, a little five-year-old comes up to me and I direct left or right? No, I don't want that responsibility because I don't know. I mean, it's a child in front of me. Big stuff. Can you imagine the grief that God is experiencing with all the sin in the world and what's taking place and what has and what will? Don't think for a moment that he doesn't experience the pain and the suffering. That's why he hates divorce. When you divorce, your very spirit, your very soul is cut in two. You're fragmented. You became one flesh. You were one spirit. And now you're something else. And it causes such disruption and such pain. But it also is an entry point of demons. Because anger and rage and fornication and adultery and all the other stuff come in from it. Bad stuff. Very, very bad stuff. But yet it happens. Is it a forgivable sin? Well, Jesus either paid for all sins or he didn't, past, present, and future. Is repentance required? Yes, of course. Absolutely. And what does repenting mean? It means we stop what we're doing and we go the other way. And that's that marriage thing is a whole other subject. Let me see if I got... hang on. All right. So what I want to get at is that we need to come to an understanding of what's really going on out there with hybrids and clones and all these other things, whether they are eligible for heaven or not, and do we witness to them? That decision needs to start working on that now. That, because that's a tough one. That's a biggie. That is something that will rock the very soul of any individual to see children who are of hybrids, who are of reptilians, and to stand back and to see that there's a demise for them. Very hard to take. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. You know, in the chat room, has anyone in the chat room ever experienced someone trying to kill you? If someone can just give some indications. And I'm talking about that they either had a gun to your head, they were going to cut your throat, they were beating the tar out of you, and the spirit within them was doing everything they can to kill you. Okay? I have experienced that several times, and it changed my life. And there were divine interventions that kept that situation from coming to full term. When you see the hate and the rage in another individual whose sole existence for that very moment is to take yours away, you come to the understanding that evil really is evil. And that evil hates you. And that evil wants to do everything it can to destroy you. And that evil hates your children more than they hate you, if it's even possible. Now, blood is thicker than water. You ever heard the saying? We have all heard that. So let's say that we have, what, 1.6, 2 point something billion Muslims in the world. I forget what the number is. It's been a while. And most of them are inbred, by the way. I mean, we've talked about that. I've done a show on that, incest. And so now, because of blood being thicker than water, when it comes down to who's going to do what, who's going to be an alliance, who's going to join what side do you think they're going to join? When it comes to the reptilians, when it comes to those things, what side do you think they're going to choose? Did anyone ever think of that? See, these are hard questions. These are things that need to be addressed. Because we need to, in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, be ready. Okay? If we are Christians, then we move forward in love. But when we deal with evil, we need to be wise as serpents, still gentle as doves. But when evil is there to inflict harm onto the innocent, like children, like this abortion thing that has been going on for so long, that's close to 60 million, which I believe is far higher than that. It's a genocide. America's killing its own. And just think what's been done worldwide. Okay? Then where's God in all that? Well, we all, church, should have abolished that a long time ago. But we didn't. We allowed it to prevail. And so to this day, as I'm speaking, in fact, you'll notice on my website, it's godanswer.org. Let me bring it up here. Oh, I just love my internet that they charge me 5 times more than a normal. Okay. What I have done, and if you've been there, then you've noticed it, that I have a counter. I don't know how I made it. I'm not a programmer, but somehow I figured it out. And that one per every 20 seconds, a child is murdered in the womb. All right, so I just brought up my homepage, and it's counting. All right, boom, one. One just died. One was just murdered in the womb. Okay, so as I'm doing the show here, I'm gonna look at it. And so we need to understand that because we have stood down, because we have not done our job, that the innocent, boom, there's two. Two have just been murdered in the womb since I've been talking here. that we have been allowing the murder, the sacrifice, the ritual of demons to kill children. Okay? And many of those who are in charge of these establishments are reptilian, are of other natures other than God. Because if you think about it, anyone that could do such a thing, at least for any period of time, really can't be human. You would think it would get to anybody. Now, does demon possession fall in here? Absolutely. Whenever your conscience is seared, you have a debased mind, you have separated yourself from the Holy Spirit, from truth, then God turns you over. And so many of the people who are in these establishments were marked long ago for destruction. Okay? Can we witness to them? You can try. Are we called to do it? Yes. What's the likelihood? Pretty slim. Right? Some of you have tried. I can remember several individuals over the years that have done their best to go to these places, and man, didn't end well for them. Not at all. So, again, I just want to get you thinking now for the understanding that we need to understand who is God's enemy. Okay, we're called to pray for our enemies. Okay, who's my enemy? Well, my enemy can be my neighbor who throws his dog, droppings in my yard. My enemy can be the one that beats me up when I go to the mailbox, right? But the ones that are of the black nobility, the ones in the Illuminati, the ones who are there to destroy man, to destroy the world, are God's enemy. Okay? And God promised, okay, the counter just went to 10. Okay, think about that. 10 innocent children in this short period of time now will not grow up to marry, to say yes to Christ, to be anything. It's just beyond comprehension. So when you have to make a decision who's God, who's the enemy of God, then we have to understand that then they not only are our enemies, but they're there for the destruction of mankind. They're there to corrupt and to defile, because that was the other thing about those who crept in among us, that they were there to pervert the word of God. And when you pervert the word of God, then you have a lot of these New World translations that, as I mentioned, the New English translation left out, I pointed this out the other day, that these kind come out with fasting and prayer. Whew. What? Do you realize how important that is? For us to understand that these kind come out with fasting and prayer, and it's completely left out of the Bible? Do you see what they're trying to do? By removing, and by the way, that was part of the teaching that I did for the radio show in Phoenix tonight on the reptilians, is that by removing the Word of God, by removing the blood of Jesus Christ, by removing spiritual warfare and prayer and anything along that lines, then the demons have complete run of the mill. They completely take over everything. And as I said, a church that does not have deliverance then is a church full of demons. But I'm also finally coming to the understanding that it's also full of reptilians or full of hybrids. I believe the guy down the road here is a hybrid. Let me tell you the story about this, okay? All right? A few years ago, I went down to Arizona. That's where I'm from. And I went into a church, and in the back door comes my pastor here was the pastor at the time from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, in Tempe, Arizona, the Tri-City churches down there. I come in the front door, he comes in the back. And he goes, Scott, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I came down here for, you know, a job and everything else to do this, and then when I'm done, I'm going to go back up. And this was a few years ago. And I said, well, are you here? He said, well, I'm a guest speaker. And he put his hand on my shoulder, and he says, you know, I'm going to tell you, because I need to tell my congregation when I get back, that my sickness that I've been dealing with, it's my spleen. They're going to take it out when I get back. And I said, wow, okay. And I ended up not getting the job, and I ended up working for a deliverance ministry for a couple years. And one of the first things I did was, when I entered in that ministry, was to pray for this pastor, unknowing at the time what was really going on with him. Okay? So I ended up finishing my tour of duty, so to speak, at this deliverance ministry in Phoenix, and I head back up here to Coeur d'Alene. All right? Now, you need to remember that pastor recognized me in a church in Tempe, Arizona, and came up to me and called me by name, right? I go into this church. Now I'm back in Coeur d'Alene. I walk in there. I sit at the table, and I'm expecting to talk to him because he's there at the table. They were having a little dinner. He looks right at me, and he says, sir, could you hand me the salt? I didn't say anything. I said, oh, sure, yeah, here. Okay. A little more time goes by, and I end up casting demons out and doing all this other stuff, and next thing you know, there's a big hoopla about it. And they're all upset that I'm doing such a thing. You know, who in the world could ever set a woman free from 30 years of depression? What a terrible thing I've done. And so he gathers the troops together, the congregation, to discredit me and to publicly denounce me and that I'm some kind of wacko nut. And he turns to the guy to his right, who is a friend of mine, who's, I don't know, maybe 10 years younger than me. He's Italian. I'm German. Little age difference. We don't look alike, right? And he turns to the guy, and he says, isn't that right, Scott? And the guy looks up at him and goes, I'm Dennis. I'm not Scott. Okay? Let's examine what happened there. And I'm serious about this. When I say that there are reptilians and hybrids and clones in churches, I'm not joking. This man who knew me now all of a sudden didn't, and then mistakes me for someone else who doesn't look anything like me. And the whole task of what he was doing was to make sure that there was no deliverance in that church. Do you know why? Because the moment the power of God is able to move because of the obedience of the people, the moment that blocking, hindering, bewitching, sorcery, divination spirits are cast out, the truth is seen. And I'm telling you right now that the reason deliverance is not allowed in churches, because if it was, the very nature of the people who are running the organizations would be exposed. And I'm telling you, this guy down the road is a clone. And then we had a shooting here in Coeur d'Alene where a guy takes 8 .45 rounds, and in 3 days was wheeled out of the hospital, took two of them in the back of the head, but yet he had all of his hair. Yet he was sitting on the very wounds in his back. There's something wrong here. There's something very, very wrong here. Something's rotten in Denmark. There's trouble right here in Fulton City. Now, I also mentioned that the churches about the ultrasonics, or the psychotronic technology to give the appearance that the Holy Spirit is present within the church because of the euphoria, like Kundalini spirits give people who don't quite understand what's going on. And the signal's weak at the front, from the front, so the closer you get, the stronger signal you get. And that means the closer you get to the pastor, the more you think you're in the presence of God. Okay? all this didn't just come overnight. This has been a long process for me to lay out. So if these reptilians hybrids, these clones, you have to ask, why do they not want deliverance in a church? The answer is because it would expose them for who they are. And the power of God's not in them because they are not of God. They are the enemy. They are a counterfeit. And so I've actually seen, I won't bring any names up on churches, but I've actually seen where there was a a split in a deliverance ministry, and somebody else took over. And the pastor, who was not doing deliverance but did allow it in the church, thought that he would come in and help until things were back to normal. And God bless this man. He was a extremely prophetic, but that guy couldn't cast a demon out of a paper bag. He prayed, he laid hands, he did this, he did that, zilch, zippo, nada. And I'm not joking. And I believe that he was anointed. I believe he was true. At least I'd like to believe that. But that was certainly out of his ballpark. See, one thing about casting out demons, when you finally understand the power that you have within you, given to you through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's only there because of Christ, and it's able to stay there because of your obedience, that in order to have it become a mantle, to have it activated, to be able to step in faith, you need to step out of the nest. You need to move forward in who you are. You need to recognize who you are and take authority. Now, it's kind of an example that there was. Someone wrote it in a book, and someone was just telling me about it, so I don't know where it came from. But let's say that you have a busy street, and it's a fairly good example. And you get somebody who's on the sidewalk, and they step off the sidewalk and into the street, and they put their hands up to slow traffic. Well, that person's going to take their life in their own hands. Most people are going to get run over. Some people stop, you know, just to avoid from hitting somebody. They're going to be incensed. But now let's take a policeman, someone in full uniform, and they've got their whistle with them. And they step out into that street, and they blow that whistle, and they put their hand up. Well, people are going to stop. Why? Because the authority has been presented versus the person who was standing on the street that decided to try and stop traffic for whatever reason. Do you see the difference there? The spirit realm is seen the same way. The demons can either obey, because by the way, the reasons the demons weren't leaving when the pastor was doing this is because they didn't recognize his authority. He didn't operate in that. He whatever was going on there, it didn't matter what he did. It just wasn't happening. And it shocked me, because I would have thought they would have, you know, people would have projectile vomited demons out of people with the way I thought of him. And it still took the little old lady in the group to walk over and finally get the demon out of that person. God bless little old ladies. So do you understand that when we're talking about what's really in these churches right now, God's not in there. And again, a church that's not doing deliverance, I'm now going to add, that's a church full of demons, but it's also a church full of hybrids, clones, reptilians. I have finally come to that conclusion. And I don't like it, but you know what? You know, coming from an engineering background, and when I lay the numbers in front of me and I observe the facts, I have to come with, you know, to my conclusion. And that's my conclusion. And so now there are three churches, there's actually four, one over in Post Falls, which is run by Masons, I can guarantee that. And I can tell you another story about that one. That was the one where the guy came there because he was manifesting and he needed help, so he somehow gets the elders together, and they go to pray for him, and he manifests, and he's thrown on the ground, and the demons are just beating the snot out of him. And they were sex demons, so I can just imagine what he was doing. And they freaked out so bad, they called 911 and had the police come and throw him out. That's weird. Demon manifest, elders, pastors call 911. Do you see the problem here? We've either been given all power and all authority or we haven't. And if a church isn't operating in it, then they're not who it was given to. Who it was given to was us as humans, and only us as humans. Those who are obedient, those who understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus paid the price. He sacrificed himself willingly, shed his blood, took back the keys of death and hell. He didn't do it so we could be abused. He didn't do it so we could be, hoodwinked. He didn't do it so we could just sit back in our lawn chairs and watch the sunset. No, we are to be participants to move forward in the authority that he gave us. Have you ever given a gift to somebody and later on you find out that they never even opened the box or they just, never wore it, never used it, and you really thought it was something. You just thought, I really like them. They're so great, so nice, I'm going to give them, and it turns out it wasn't anything to them. And you feel a little weird about it. How do you think Jesus feels? Just think what he did, and we're not doing anything close. Now, he told us greater things we would do. God promised he would pour out his Spirit. Are you going to be the one that takes it? You're on that merry-go-round. Do you ever do that where you have to lean out and grab, the little ring thing? I did that when I was in Pennsylvania. Boy, that's a knuckle-breaker. But are you going to be the one that reaches out and grabs that ring? I hope so. Because when these entities stand before you and that blood is thicker than water and they make a choice who they are and what ground they're going to stand, I can assure you that they're going to take your head off versus having to face their kind for not doing what they were told to do, just like Muslims. Do you get it? But when you stand in a power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ, the fact again of Luke 18 told, saying that we have been given all power, 10:18, over scorpions, over serpents, over the principalities, the powers, the rulers, the darkness, these things, then we either have it or not, and that means that I'm telling you right now that these hybrids and these reptilians are subject to the blood of Jesus Christ. If they're subject to the blood of Jesus Christ, then how in themselves, who then are evil, that just was classified by Jesus, how are they going to be qualified to enter the gates of heaven? Did you see the quagmire, the irony? So these things we have to observe. We have to look at this. If there's some proof otherwise, then I want to see it, and I'm open to it. But we are so close. We are so close to issues that means life and death for our families. I would rather be very cautious. I'm just, I just took a look up at the counter. 64 babies have just been eliminated. Wow. 64 who will never breathe, who will never experience the wonders and the beauty that God has given. in the physical. I believe that when children die, because of they are the, you know, below the age of accountability, that they're returned back to God. And we all made mistakes. If you've had an abortion, remember Jesus paid the price for your sin, but repent. And that child will be waiting for you. Okay? As many that this has happened to, then a high number of the people listening out there have abortion in their families. And so it's amongst all of us. And so we forgive each other, we forgive ourselves, and we move forward, understanding the wrongs that we did. Jesus made it right. Thank you, Jesus. It's Jesus plus nothing. And as we move forward, then we move with His grace, His divine guidance. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you what, when a big stinky thing standing in front of me that wants to rip my head off, the blood of Jesus is the first thing I'm going for. And if I lose my life, then I save it, right? We don't have a choice. We're all terminal. We're all going to die. Some before others. You know? Again, life is a flash in the pan compared to eternity. So we make that choice, and that choice is who we're going to serve. Boy, big subjects, huh? Very big. All right. Well, down on time here. You know, I'm going to just mention before I go here, if you eat fish, be very, very, very careful. The Pacific Ocean is absolutely tainted with radiation. And I've stopped eating fish. I'm very careful about any of that. Because the last thing you need is an isotope in you. That's bad stuff. And I guarantee you that the fish, especially with the extra amount of radiation they've been dumping in to alleviate the access that they've been, that's been stored up there. And, you know, it's only begun. Wait till the earthquakes, you know, we prayed last night for these things to stop. But how long can we keep the puppies in the box, right? The world is very sinful. And judgment will come. And judgment starts in the house of God. You know, that's pretty scary. Now we know why judgment starts in the house of God. It's all these reptilians. The ones pretending, just like in Revelation, they say they are Jews. They are not. They are a synagogue of Satan. These pastors, they're going to be running to get out of town because people are going to realize they've been lying to them. And that's not a good place. All right. Thank you for joining me tonight. I hope this makes sense to you. God bless you, people. Like I said, I did today's show for Saturday night. And then I've got the husband and wife from Pig Blood Bullets are going to be joining me on Saturday at 5 o'clock. It's going to be the first live stream I've done in quite some time. And they're going to bring their products. And so there's going to be a chance to for them to show us, you know, these products in a little more detail about it. And so join us for that. Again, you can get to that from my website at scotthensler.org. And you'll see live stream, and then click on that, and you'll see the live broadcast. If you've got, you can watch it on your phone, and you can watch it on your computer. So, all right, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for those who are listening. And Father, bless them for their obedience and their willfulness to understand the truth. And in that truth, Father, you will set them free. And so, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, good night.